Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I think it's disgusting, and it's the good old boy politics of Santa Rosa County that people are tired of. And if you all change the rules in the middle of the game and accept another company, that the company that won the bid will sue this county and win, and should win. Now you want to come up here, add this to the agenda, change the rules in the middle of the game. I think it's wrong, and I think the people of Santa Rosa County will think this is disgusting. So I will fight tooth and nail against this.
So Commissioner James Caulkins making a giant show on Thursday of how outraged and indignant and disgusted and disturbed he is, and how this other company who is not going to get the contract for the new emergency dispatch center, that they have a right to sue, and they should sue, and they will win if they sue. Yeah, it's always good when a county commissioner is telling litigants against the county that they should successfully sue against the county. Good work there, sir. But so what was this all about? Well, okay, you heard the news on Friday. I had not watched this meeting as of Friday morning, but I had some suspicions when I did hear the news about this whole hub. I had read some of the online accounts, and I thought, oh, good gravy, here we go. Here's the backstory, okay? They had a vote on prioritizing. There was an RFQ, so request for quotes, which is when the companies come out, you know, and make like the offers or requests for proposals is one way and quotes is a different way. And I'll be honest, I sometimes forget which one is which. But basically, one is where you put out the specs and then they give you dollars, and the other one is where you ask them to make submissions. They don't do this version very often. Okay, Woodbine was one. They've done it a couple of other times, but it's relatively rare. And what they did is they scored them one through five, five different contenders, and every county commissioner scored them. And when you look at the scoring sheet, what you see is that four out of the five county commissioners, James Caulkins excluded, scored Caldwell as either their number one, three did as number one, and then one scored as the number two, Kerry Smith, but he had kind of written him in as number one first and then sort of changed his vote. So we'll call that 3.5 votes for Caldwell. And then you had basically Clemens Rutherford, which was the one that was going to be preferenced, okay, got 3.5 second-place votes, okay? Eddington, Parker, and Wright voted for them second place, and Smith changed to make them first place, and then Caulkins voted for them first place. And all of that wouldn't be much of anything, except that when it came to Caldwell, Caulkins voted for them number five. So last, dead last. The other three were all a mixture amongst the commissioners of third, fourth, and fifth place, again, except for Caulkins, who was the outlier. And so this is weird to begin with, because either James Caulkins knows something in his brilliant political, legal, and business acumen about Caldwell that justifies making them a number five, or maybe there's something else involved here. Like maybe there's a reason that he wanted them to lose the contract, not because they don't deserve the contract, but because, you know, maybe there's some backstory about maybe personal animus with him between them and or something they're connected to.
Here's where it is. The fact that you ranked them dead last, number five, I'm not going to make innuendos.
The Sam Parker.
Or try to pretend that I knew your motivations.
I will.
Some people have shared with me they thought it was because they learned that his firm was working on the medical examiner office, and this could have been some rub between you and the former administrator. I don't know, and I don't care, okay? I'm simply saying we went away from how we've done it in the past.
So Sam says the thing, okay? He says the thing that a lot of the people that I know believe to be true, which is that James Caulkins didn't suddenly, with his great wisdom and business acumen, discover a flaw in Caldwell, because he didn't see it at the time of the original meeting or say it out loud. But instead, he voted this way to tank the rankings so that he could prevent them from getting the job. And the only reason that anybody's been able to come up with for this is that they are the ones who are working on the medical examiner's facility. Now, the drama in Santa Rosa over the medical examiner's facility is very different from the drama in Escambia over the Santa Rosa over the medical examiner's facility. The drama in Santa Rosa has to do with the fact that James Caulkins hates Dan Schebler and got him fired from his job as former county minister, and he is now the operations manager at the District 1 Medical Examiner's Office. So because Caldwell is working on that project, and because Dan is overseeing that project, he has been putting his heels in at every turn to try to thwart that project and cause frustration and irritation to Dan. So you have to decide for yourself. Do you believe that James Caulkins just knew something that nobody else saw that put Caldwell dead last? Or did he put him dead last because he thought to himself, oh, I can screw this up for them. I can make sure they don't get this deal. And then when people expose it, he gets loud and starts pitching a fit about, how dare you? This is outrageous. Your backroom dealing is making sure that nobody's going to come to this county and work for us anymore. The louder somebody gets, the less solid their claims are. Typically, they're hiding weakness with bluster.
What are you going to tell Rutherford? This is a clear lawsuit ready to happen. A clear lawsuit.
Well, ask the attorney who's present. Ask Tom Danheiser if it's a clear lawsuit or not. I mean, you don't have to... Your own legal knowledge doesn't have to be the basis of this concern. If Tom Danheiser thought they were going to get sued, it's his job to protect the county from making a bad choice, right?
Because the rules were set forth before we voted. All these things you're wanting to change, you should have done it ahead of time, before we already ranked the top winners.
The only thing that Danheiser said was, if you're going to do this, just make sure that you reduce it to a list of three first and, you know, order the re-ranking officially. I mean, that's all he said. So if it was such an obvious lawsuit, why wouldn't the attorney say something? We'll come back to this in a second. Candy's out today. Gracie's got traffic on the fives.
98 eastbound, still seeing some major slowdown. So we had an accident. Scene of the accidents in Windhaven Beach, right in front of Windhaven Beach Animal Hospital. And we do have slowdowns in both directions. But really, if you are heading eastbound, it's backing up all the way to the Navarre Beach Causeway. So keep that in mind, that if you are, you know, moving eastbound on 98, you're going to see some significant delays this morning. We do still have slowdowns in the westbound direction. Not as bad, but it is backing up a bit the westbound as well at the scene of the accident. If you have any details, just give a call to the traffic line, which is 850-262-6111. I'm Gracie with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Gracie. So back to the ongoing drama around James Caulkins in Santa Rosa County and this bid process and selection of vendor to do the work on the 911 dispatch. This is Colton Wright, again, befuddled by how anybody could have ranked Caldwell dead last compared to everybody else thinking they were at least one of the top two.
I think when you look at Caldwell was ranked 1, 2, 1, 1, 5. I have a hard time understanding how you could rank Caldwell number 5. I don't know the reasons for that. I just don't know, based on the presentation, how that would be defensible and how someone could lay out the argument for that versus some of the others that were ranked number 5. You know.
So, Mr. Chairman, I don't have a right to my opinion.
Commissioner Caulkins, I'm not finished. I did not interrupt you. You're certainly entitled to your opinion. I'm just laying out my logical thoughts. You're welcome to think what you want. You're welcome to get more text messages to tell you how to respond like you did earlier. That's your choice.
Ouch. Coaching from the audience. Anyway, you know what I wish? I wish one of the commissioners would have asked, can you explain why you ranked them 5th? And then just wait. Because that did not come up in that exact way, and I wish it would have. They were so close to it, but they just didn't. So, you know, You have this ongoing histrionics from James Caulkins trying to make political wind, you know, political sunshine out of all this. And, based on the comments I saw online, some people fell for it. I mean, they did. Some people thought that. And, he just kind of kept on going. How loud can I be?
I sit up here constantly and deal with so much unfairness. Absolutely. You're telling me, well, I can't believe you ranked that one 5. You're telling me that. That's my vote. The citizens elected me to make a decision on what I think is best, just like they elected you and you.
Yeah, okay, but what's your rationale? That's different from saying you do have the right to your opinion, but what's your rationale for it when you're so out of line with everybody else? Earlier in the meeting, Carrie Smith had made the comment, this is like doing gymnastics ratings. You know, it's not the right system. It's not the system we've ever used before. Everybody explained that. This was a new way of doing it. The way historically they would always do it was they would cut down to 3 and then vote on those 3. And Colton Wright apologized for forgetting that that's how they had done it before. The staff didn't come to them with that's how they did it before, but they acknowledged that there was never any official policy that was done this way, and this was a different way of doing it than they'd ever done this before, which even so, they hadn't done it very many times before. So it's like everything about this was wonky, and it created an opportunity for James Caulkins, again, my read of the situation, to deliberately tank the bid for Caldwell. And as I said, you know, the widespread belief about that is because that was a way to hurt Dan Shebler.
This will tell every company in Santa Rosa County, every company that places a bid, this will tell them that it's rigged. You guys are proving that it's rigged.
Well, or you tried to rig it, got caught, and now they're trying to fix the thing that you rigged. Because, you know, in gymnastics, at least you toss out the scores high and low, right? You know, if the Italian judge marks them too high, and, you know, if the judge that loves Russia, I mean the Russian judge, I could not resist, goes too low, well, you know, then what do you do to fix that, right? So in the end, okay, in the end, they moved forward to change the ranking to put it as Caldwell. And that was three, because, by the way, three commissioners picked them number one. So if you were just picking who do you pick, that would have been it. 3.5, as I said, Kerry Smith. What was interesting in the final vote to change the ranking system is that Ray Eddington, even though he voted for them number one, did not want to change the ranking. He thought that was unfair. So he was siding with James Caulkins on this. Kerry Smith, who voted for Caldwell as number two, actually was willing to change the ranking to go back to number one because I think he recognized, oh my God, really? This is how we're going to do business in this county? So after the vote for all of that, they voted 3-2, Eddington and Caulkins against. James Caulkins muttered something under his breath, but you know, Colton Wright said, oh, we're not having that. Why don't you say it out loud?
I think that this vote was an absolute disgrace.
No, go ahead and say what you said.
And I said, you all are in trouble now.
Thank you.
You all are in trouble now. I don't see it, but okay. 722 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Are you facing a trial right now in your life? Let me urge you to read James chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. In that passage, you'll read four essential things that will help anyone facing a trial. And they all start with the letter G. First, you'll see God's goal in allowing the trial in your life. Second, you'll find the thing that God wants you to get or be in pursuit of that will help you through the trial. Thirdly, you'll find grace to handle the trial. And fourthly, you'll read about a heavenly gift that is described in verse number 12. I don't know the details of your specific trial, but I do know that God wants to comfort you, and the way He does that is primarily through His Word. So read James chapter 1 and reflect on the goodness of God. You'll be glad that you did.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Are you ready to kickstart your career or make a change in your current career? George Stone Technical College offers short-term, hands-on programs that equip you with industry-recognized certifications in fields that offer jobs right here in Pensacola or abroad. George Stone Technical College offers 25 different career programs and can provide you with a career in a year. George Stone offers financial aid and has grant opportunities for all students right now. To learn about all the programs, costs, and schedules, visit georgestonecollege.edu.
Naval Air Station Pensacola has a significant economic impact in our area. It employs more than 16,000 military and 7,400 civilian personnel, and the headquarters for Naval Education Training Command, a command which combines direction and control of all Navy education and training. There's a lot more you can know by tuning in this morning at 9 and hear what's happening at NAS Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio Pensacola. He's on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Hey, there's something awfully screwy going on around here.
One last quick thing, and maybe two things, on this whole business of the 911, the emergency dispatch center. One is that it was not about the price or anything like that. It was really the main argument that Sam Parker and Colton Wright were arguing is this is going to keep the money here locally because Caldwell's a local firm, and sort of the buy local idea that was one of the things about, not just that the quality of the proposal, but that was the other thing. And somebody else texted me and said, oh my God, Andrew, these guys are a train wreck when it comes to process, and this is not the only incident. No, I agree with that. I do agree. And this is, listen, it's kind of weird. The whole idea of how you score and judge when you have multiple candidates in a field is itself a very complicated thing. To get it right in a way that doesn't allow for, you know, thumb on the scale kind of interference of the sort that James Calkins engaged in, because it's very hard to be able to, you know, rank grade people or firms or proposals in a way that doesn't allow that, but which also allows people to properly account for, man, I think this is a really, really great one. And I don't just want to put it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'd like to put it, you know, 80, 78, 75, 73, 20. Because if they deserve that, on the other hand, if you allow that kind of a scale, then you allow somebody to say, no, I'm going to just give them a 3. You know, like, it's a very challenging thing. Of course, in, again, the Olympics, that's why historically you have you throw out the high and the low so that you avoid bias pro and con, right? So anyway, it is a complicated thing to come up with the right system, and they clearly don't have that figured out, which is a problem. 726 on News Radio 92.3. Gracie's got traffic for you.
So got a call into the traffic line. That accident isn't in front of the animal hospital, but right in front of Blue Moon Bar. So just a little bit past that. So you are going to still be seeing some major delays in the eastbound direction. It is backing up into Navarre. That's going to be just past the Navarre Beach Causeway. So slow moving traffic all the way through in the eastbound direction. But both lanes are now open eastbound. One lane is still closed in the westbound direction, so still seeing some slight delays there. Accident is still on scene. It's not cleaned up or anything yet, so please use a lot of caution in that area. Again, scene of the accident right in front of Blue Moon Bar. I'm Gracie on News Radio 923 with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Gracie. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Three people have died after a plane crashed into an airport hangar in Southern California. Officials there say it was a single-engine beach craft, and it crashed at Cable Airport in Upland as it was taking off over the weekend. Democratic congressman taking exception to comments a Supreme Court justice made about the authority of Congress. Speaking on CNN's State of the Union, Chris Murphy from Connecticut says Justice Samuel Alito is wrong that Congress can't pass laws related to the High Court. Murphy says it was Congress that determined the number of Supreme Court seats. And a Southern California man facing charges for allegedly prank calling his local sheriff's office thousands of times.
Oh, my goodness.
Deputies in San Bernardino County say Luke, and I'm not making this up, his name is Luke Dumas.
Okay.
And he called the sheriff's office. I know it sounds like a bad joke. I know. Prank called his local sheriff's office over 7,000 times in the span of 4 months earlier this year. Deputies say Dumas's calls would always come from an unknown number, and they were harassing and annoying. And, of course, it kept them from quickly responding to actual emergencies.
That's right. That can do that. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620, 437-1620. A lot of, like, odd little interesting stories. For example, Devin Witherspoon. Who played at Pine Forest and was a total standout. I mean, he went on to play at University of Illinois. He was a, you know, all Big Ten, first team all Big Ten, drafted fifth, and he has now signed with the Seattle Seahawks. And so congratulations to him. That's fantastic. One thing that was, he's a cornerback. One thing that was kind of interesting about this story is when I first saw his picture, Seahawks are Argos colors. And I'm like, Argos? I don't remember a guy named Devin Witherspoon playing for the Argos. Well, he didn't. He played for Division I, obviously, University of Illinois. Sorry, you went to my alma mater. I mean, it's a good school. It's just not good football. Congratulations to him, and that's fantastic. Also, I saw a story. This is just kind of one of these. I found this story funny. So you remember the whole hubbub over this a trans woman. That means born a man. And acting like a woman now, wins a beauty pageant. And then the reaction against that overseas in Europe, and then the reaction against that was they banned anybody who's not biologically female from the contest. So somebody who's biologically female but identifies as male, so a trans man, entered the contest because biologically female, right? And 100 other transgender men, but they're actually women, right? They just identify as men. They've entered the contest as well, and several of them have advanced because if you say the contest is only for biological women, you would have to allow people who are pretending to be men or identifying as men. So though I think it's, kooky, it's clever
you know, you have to give cleverness where cleverness is due. 437-1620. There was an Arkansas law that would have banned a librarian, or that would have made librarians criminally liable for allowing inappropriate materials to come into the hands of kids. That has now been blocked, at least temporarily. So librarians in Arkansas are not at risk for putting inappropriate material in the hands of kids, at least for now as the case unfolds. David Wayne, what do you have coming up, sir?
There was a burglary bust up in Century. We'll tell you about it after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. An employee at Donald Trump's Florida estate accused of trying to have subpoenaed surveillance video erased has his first court appearance today.
The superseding indictment from last week added Mar-a-Lago property manager Carlos de Oliveira as a defendant, whom the DOJ says conspired with the former president to hide the requested footage.
Fox's Grinnell Scott. The House Oversight Committee hears today from the president's son, Hunter Biden's former business partner, Devin Archer.
A Wall Street Journal report suggests he'll say Joe Biden was not substantially involved in Hunter's business deals, but he is expected by some to say that the elder Biden did participate in dozens of phone calls. Devin Archer has his own legal challenges, including felony convictions for fraud. And over the weekend, prosecutors asked a judge to schedule the start of his prison sentence.
Fox's Doug Luzader. It's a one-year prison sentence that's been delayed by appeals. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 76 and mostly clear skies this morning in Pensacola. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Well, three people were shot over the weekend at the Northwoods Apartments on East Olive Road. That happened on Saturday evening. Pensacola police say all three victims were being treated for their injuries. We don't have any updates on their conditions at this time, and right now there's no word on a suspect, but we'll let you know as soon as we learn more about that case. Two Alabama men were arrested on Sunday. This is after an alleged robbery attempt in Century. 36-year-old Jesse Clayton Bell from Flomaton and 29-year-old Robert Zachary Weaver from Foley. They're both charged with burglary, causing more than $1,000 of damage and criminal mischief. And deputies say they were called to a burglary in progress when they arrived. One suspect was found. A second was found shortly after, thanks to the help of a canine deputy. And both of those men being held on $52,500 bond at the Escambia County Jail. Looks like Escambia County might be considering a road widening project on Highway 164. The road, dangerously narrow in a couple of locations, notably east of Highway 97 and a 1.5-mile stretch that's over near the Pine Barren Road intersection. North Escambia reports that those two sections of road have had over 7 sideswipe and other accidents between May of 2018 and May of 2023. Sections of the road also only have 8-foot travel lanes. That's not even wide enough to accommodate a large vehicle such as a fire truck. $2 million in funding being considered by the Board of Commissioners later this week, and that money would come from local option sales tax revenue. The fifth case of anti-Semitic graffiti was recently found here in Pensacola. Rabbi Mendel Danau says it's unnerving.
At the same time, we're here to stay, and nothing is going to deter that.
And Danau and the Pensacola Chabad Jewish Center recently held a community event. Their goal was to drive out the darkness with light. And Danau says that there were a lot of new faces in the crowd at that event, and they were all there to offer their support for the Jewish community here in Pensacola. The latest graffiti incident was written on a street sign near the Blake Doyle Skate Park, not far from that synagogue that was previously targeted. In earlier cases, bricks were thrown into a Jewish community center and through a window in the synagogue as well. Governor Ron DeSantis getting ready for a press conference from the first Republican presidential primary state later. Political scientist Dr. Susan McManus says that Ron DeSantis is polling about 30 points now behind former President Trump, but it's too early to take the numbers seriously yet.
It's way too soon to tell. We go back and look at Biden when he was in a crowded field in 2020, and he didn't catch fire to two or three elections into the primary.
And the governor dealing with some campaign issues as well, recently had to cut a third of his campaign staff and canceled a couple of fundraising events due to lack of donor interest. Man was hurt after being bitten by a shark recently in Manatee County. The West Manatee Fire District says the man was bitten on his lower leg. It happened near
near Anna Maria Island. Right now, there's no word on that man's condition. Rescue officials say he was in his early 20s. It is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3, and Gracie's got a look at our traffic.
We still have slow-moving traffic in the eastbound direction on 98. That is due to an accident. Scene of the accident is right in front of Blue Moon Bar. So if you are traveling eastbound, leaving Navarre, heading towards like Windhaven Beach, as well as Mary Esther and Hilbert Field, you're going to be seeing slowdowns backing up to 87. So it looks like it is starting to move a little bit smoother at the scene of the accident, but it is still backing way up, and you're still going to be in a lot of traffic with significant delays this morning, again, eastbound on 98 throughout Navarre and Windhaven Beach. I'm Gracie on News Radio 923 with your traffic on the fives.
We're going to be seeing some heat today with temperatures warming up near 96 degrees, feeling into the triple digits, 20% chance of a stray shower. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 77. Dangerous heat will continue for Tuesday with a high near 99, feeling much warmer with a 10% chance of rain. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 77. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, it's 76 in Pensacola, 78 in Gulf Breeze, and 74 in Milton. Our next news at 8 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kashinko with Your Money Now. The Barbenheimer boom has not abated. Barbie and Oppenheimer both held strong in their second weekend at the box office. Barbie took in a massive $93 million in its second weekend. Oppenheimer stayed in second with a strong $46.2 million. The two movies combined have already surpassed $1 billion in worldwide ticket sales. The week's top new release, Disney's Haunted Mansion, came in third, bringing in $24 million domestically. A bipartisan group of senators aims to strengthen the pharmaceutical supply chain with a bill that focuses on boosting stockpiles through increased drug manufacturing in the U.S. and allied countries. The legislation was drafted in response to a report published in March that found more than 295 medications, including life-saving treatments, are in short supply nationwide. On Wall Street, futures slightly higher after stocks posted strong gains on Friday. The Dow Industrials jumped 176. That's Your Money Now.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Whatever I gotta be, I'll be.
hard to talk about economics when you're talking about the military. I think the people of this area are more proud not of the economics, but the fact that we're patriots. And we believe as we build a society around our military folks that are giving the potential of their lives for the freedom of this country, we feel like we're a part of that.
Senator Doug Broxson on Friday, State Senator Doug Broxson, talking about the role we play, which you would not maybe think of something like bringing Leonardo helicopters to the corner of NAS Whiting Field like that was part of defending the country. But if you think about it, it really is. And so that's a role that people like he and, Santa Rosa County Commission and other folks who have been involved in this, and certainly Shannon Ogletree, the Economic Development Director for Santa Rosa County, gets a huge, the stuff that he's been doing has been pretty amazing. So it was a big day. It was really, really big day. I had a chance to talk to the CEO of Leonardo Helicopters, who was in from Philadelphia, Clyde Waltman.
All right, here with Clyde Waltman. He is the CEO for Leonardo Helicopters that has finally got a place here in Santa Rosa County to start maintaining the fine helicopters you've already been delivering. How significant is this day for you, sir?
It's significant in the sense that it's growth. For us, it's added capability elsewhere in the country. As you well know, we have a large facility up in Northeast Philadelphia where we not only build aircraft to support them, but we have a similar site to this up there. And what this means for us is the most important thing is to take care of our customer. And right now, in this area, the Navy is our most important customer. And having just been, having the honor of being awarded that program with a TH-73, we wanted to make certain that the Navy was not dealing with the tyranny of distance. So we would provide a warehouse for spare parts. We have people here, mechanics, but at the intermediate and depot level where they can support the aircraft in case they are damaged or need major rework. So we have a very, very expansive capability. So it's growth and supporting our customer, which is the most important part of what we do.
It's a great insurance policy in my mind because it's such a unique idea to co-locate the MRO facility with the actual use location for the trainers that are about, one-third delivered or so, a little more than one-third delivered right now. But by the time you guys get up and going in a year and a half, that means everything is right here in one place, making it, from my local perspective, that much harder to ever jeopardize as a mission.
Well, that's true. And for us, like I said, the most important thing is to be able to support the Navy, and that's our customer. And in my experience, I spent almost 30 years in the Marine Corps and been around a lot of military bases, and I do not recall ever having an OEM, original manufacturer, on or near the site, and we are effectively attached to the United States, to the air station here, and that proximity is everything. Yeah. And we don't have to deal with the standard logistical weights, and just having the expertise resident with the Navy is crucial for us.
There's been major milestones in this long process. When you caught the idea to apply for the contract, when you caught the contract, when Triumph awarded the money, when the other signatures on the deal came through, when the Navy agreed to the deal, what was the one moment, if there was one for you, that stands out as the, oh, thank God, sort of moment?
I would probably say that was, we've had a lot of cooperation. It's all been a thank God moment throughout this process. And it was not a requirement of the contract, as I think many people know. We just wanted to make certain we had the capability to support our customer. I would say the big moment for me personally took place, I think, this past April. We were initially looking at doing this in two phases, being very thoughtful in the investment. And we decided back in April that we want to do the whole shebang at once, the whole huge facility, the 113,000 square foot facility. Why wait? Because we know the requirement will be there. So it was risk on our part to step ahead. But I felt, we have the confidence. We knew we had the business here. And we all slapped the table collectively and made it happen.
And for people who may not know, you're already present here operating out of Peter Prince, doing basically the first version of this work before you can get the actual facility in place here at Whiting, right?
That's correct. Part of the contract for the Navy was, as we were delivering the first number of aircraft, was to train an initial cadre of instructor pilots. So we've been doing that for the last year and a half. Initially, that was supposed to take place up in Philadelphia. We decided it made more sense for us to send a detachment of instructors, of helicopters, and equipment down here. Initially, it was at Crestview, then it moved over to Peter Prince. And while we were there, we also obviously provided the training training for the Naval Aviators, the Fleet Introduction Team. But while we were there, we also were able to extend the support to those first deliveries of the aircraft. So yes, absolutely, it was a natural progression, and also supporting the contract logistics contract, who's our now the support that V2X is doing the line maintenance.
Now the aviators here have been flying, let's just say, not the brand newest of helicopters, and yours, of course, the T-73 comes in and replaces those. What's been the response from the aviators about the quality of the product?
Well, from what I've heard, it's been extremely positive from both the instructors and the students. You know, it's the 57, the old aircraft, the legacy aircraft. And say, the legacy aircraft is.
It's old. I can say it.
You know, I remember I was here when we introduced that aircraft. So we flew anyway. So I was. It's a good aircraft, a good basic trainer, but what it lacked was the advanced systems that allowed a smooth transition from the training helicopter to fleet helicopters. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to make certain that all the systems that are in the trainer mimic, you know, replicate those that we see in the fleet. So it's a smoother transmission, frankly, managing the systems, the scan, and having a higher performance aircraft, much more like that they would be flying in the fleets.
Okay, so when they're getting into a Cobra, they're getting into a Black Hawk or something like that, they've seen some of this before. It's a more familiar environment.
Absolutely. In fact, what was happening is when they go through the pipeline, the student naval aviators would start flying the T-6 Texan. Mm-hmm. So that's a primary trainer, and that's a glass cockpit. It's an advanced system. Yeah. And then they go out of that and they go into a 1980s cockpit with a 57. And then after that training, then they go back to 21st century aircraft. So it was a transition that, you know, we worked with it, but it wasn't optimized. And this optimizes that.
So as a pilot yourself, how gratifying is it to be able to provide that to the Navy, to the Marines, and see it working just like you envisioned it way back when?
It's a dream. You know, I work for Leonardo, but I'm still 51% Marine, and my loyalty to the Marine Corps and the Naval Services is without limit, and all we care about is making sure that we give them the very best product and support. Absolutely.
What did you fly in Operation Iraqi Freedom?
I flew AV-8Bs. So I'm a fixed wing guy, but they let me fly the helicopters too, so I can do that.
And I always like to ask aviators, because it's always entertaining, do you have a call sign you're willing to share?
Sure, Wolfman.
Wolfman, okay, very good.
Long before the movie.
You had it first.
All right.
Well, sir, welcome to Santa Rosa County. More so, congratulations on this day and on the ongoing relationship. And we certainly appreciate you here, what you're doing for the community and what you're doing for Naval Aviation. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Local jobs, an expansion of a kind of job locally, more of that aviation maintenance and repair and overhaul corridor that's part of the ST Engineering Aerospace stuff. It's literally all to the good, plus the unique Navy partnership with the private sector, being able to use their ramp, their taxiway and their 6,000-foot runway. It's just, there's so many good things about this project. It really is an all-around win. 747 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. Candy is out today. Gracie is in with traffic on the fives.
And we have some bad traffic going on 98. That's 98 eastbound as you're moving through Navarre going into Windhaven Beach. There's an accident. Scene of the accident's right near Blue Moon Bar. Got a text in letting us know that the vehicles are out of the road, but there is still some significant delays as you are heading to work. So that's backing up past 87 in Navarre. So all, you know, pass through Navarre, once you get through Windhaven Beach, past like the Animal Hospital and Blue Moon Bar, that's when you're going to start moving nicely again if you're heading eastbound. See somebody else on the roads, give me a call to the traffic line. I'm Gracie with your traffic on the fives.
You know, one of the things I hear from people, all these different stories about Frontier Motors. You know, I talk about them being a place that serves the community. I was just chatting with a friend that told me the story. They they were out of town and they got into a car wreck. And it was, you know, new car. I mean, it was a good quality car. And it was going to take $20,000 to repair it. And so, you know, insurance is going to cover that, right? But somebody made them a suggestion. Hey, you know, call Frontier because what Frontier can do is help you with diminished value. And they're like, diminished value? Well, yeah, if you ever go to resell the car, even if it was repaired back to normal, the fact that it had been in such a catastrophic wreck would mean that you were likely to get less value for it in the end. And that's something you can also get as part of your insurance claim. So all they did was they sent the repair bill. They didn't even have to take the car or send a picture or anything. They just sent the repair bill over to Frontier, and Frontier said, we'd say it's about $5,000 off because of that. They filed that with their insurance company, got a $4,800 check. Frontier wasn't involved in the sale, wasn't involved in it. Just, you know, just there as a service, just something helpful. See, it's like all of these different things that they do to just help people, even apart from selling them good quality cars. So when I say that Frontier Motors has been serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the big buffalo on Beverly Parkway, I mean that.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, Mr. Big and the Rhythm Sisters hit the stage. They'll have music selections ranging from soulful jazz, New Orleans jazz, all the way up to the newest dance hits plus R&B favorites. It's Bands on the Beach this Tuesday night at 7. Remember, no pets or glass allowed.
Don't wait until it's too late. Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest hurricane coverage on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
I guess we're playing for keeps now. I guess the kitty hunt is pretty much over, huh?
Earlier today, Hoover police detectives obtained warrants for the arrest of Carly Russell through the Hoover Municipal Court for her actions related to faking her kidnapping and subsequently making false statements to detectives as they investigated this case. Her decisions that night created panic and alarm for the citizens of our city and even across the nation as the concern grew that a kidnapper was on the loose using a small child as bait.
Yeah, this was a press conference they did on Friday. That's Nick Derzis. He's the police chief in Hoover, Alabama, talking about not just the fakeness of the claims by Carly Russell that we're all well familiar with now, but also the charges against her now that that's what they had decided and that she had gotten arrested and also bonded out.
As we know, actions can have consequences, and that's why we're here today. This afternoon, Carly Russell, with the assistance of her attorney, turned herself into the Hoover City Jail, where she was arrested for the following charges: false reporting to law enforcement authorities, Class A misdemeanor, $1,000 bond; falsely reporting an incident, a Class A misdemeanor with a $1,000 bond. Each of these charges carry up to a year in jail and a potential fine of $6,000 upon conviction.
And if anything, the thing he was annoyed about is that the lightness of the charges, given all the man hours and the money and the people's hearts that were invested in the search for a non-existent kidnapper and a non-existent at-risk toddler and a woman who had not herself been kidnapped. And so he's going to press the legislature to make some exceptions for when it's major charges like this, like violence or kidnapping, that should not be just a misdemeanor at this low level of penalty. And, you know, it's something that Steve Marshall, the AG in Alabama, mentioned.
One thing I would add is that we don't see this as a victimless crime. There are significant hours spent, resources expended as a result of this investigation. And not only that, but the many men and women who are civilians that wore those yellow vests on a hot afternoon and evening looking for someone they thought was abducted, trying to be of assistance.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, it's a serious thing. 7:54 here on News Radio 92.3. We've got our news headlines from David Wayne in the newsroom. David?
A lawsuit filed by the state of Arkansas against TikTok is going to be heard in court next year. The state of Arkansas alleging that TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, lied about user data being accessible to the Chinese Communist Party. District Court Judge Susan Hickey ruling Friday that TikTok violated Arkansas's deceptive trade practices law. That case scheduled to be heard next May. A federal judge dismissing former President Trump's $475 million defamation lawsuit against CNN. Trump filed that lawsuit last year in Florida, accusing the network of libel and slander. It claimed that CNN's use of the phrase "the big lie" to describe Trump's alleged efforts to overturn the election created a comparison with Adolf Hitler and Nazism. And the new Barbie live action movie had another good weekend at theaters, earning $93 million at theaters across the U.S. and Canada. It's now earned an estimated $351 million since its release.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Let's get Candy's out today. So we got Gracie sitting in for doing such. You're always just so helpful and so available.
Thank you.
And you do a great job in the afternoon, the 4 to 7 show that you and Joe do, Pensacola right now with all of the news. So anyway, traffic on the fives, Gracie.
Well, we're looking a little bit better on 98, but definitely still seeing some major delays. That's 98 eastbound. We had an accident earlier this morning that's still causing slowdowns. Scene of the accident has gotten the vehicles out of the road, but it's right in front of Blue Moon Bar off of 98. And it is backing up eastbound to 87 in Navarre. So if that's your typical route this morning, expect some significant delays. I'm Gracie on News Radio 92.3 with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, Gracie. So I've been really deciding whether I wanted to do this on the air in public or whether I wanted to wait and let it play out a little bit more. But I think I'm going to do it now because there's a Milton City Council meeting tonight and it might become relevant to the conversation about the Dawn Molinaro. They've called this special meeting again, the fourth one. She's a city clerk. So I put in a records request for, I said, Dawn, I would like a copy of any emails or text messages and the call phone logs between Mike Cusack and Scott Collins. He's Mike Cusack, city councilman, who was supposed to be the liaison in negotiating. Scott Collins is the city manager that didn't get the job. They refused the job eventually. Tonight was the first time I remember hearing that he texted with Collins. Thank you. That's what I wrote to her. Because he did. He mentioned that he texted with him. So I was kind of curious. And if there was a call, I was curious about that. She sent back stuff from his business phone, okay, which was nothing. Okay. I mean, it was nothing relevant. I said, thank you, but I don't see any phone calls here to or from Scott Collins, since I know his number, nor do I see any text to or from him. Last night, Mr. Cusack read several texts from his phone. This had been after that meeting and has said at least one phone call with Collins. So I'm guessing he used his personal cell phone for those. I would like copies of all such texts and the daytime duration of those phone calls from whenever phone he used, please. And then she sent back some stuff. You know, you're very welcome. Let me reach out to Mr. Cusack about the call log on his personal phone and sent back a text message packet, which was basically the ones that he had read in the meeting, to which I responded. But it was, they were like, he emailed the texts to himself and then had handwritten notes about the times and who they were from. It wasn't a screenshot of the texts, which is what I was expecting. It was like he copied the text into an email, emailed it to himself, sent that in with a written time stamp on the text and then on some of them and a to from note in handwriting. It was a very inadequate public record. I said, this is great. Thank you. But I'm curious as to why he doesn't just send screenshots. It seems a lot easier than typing the text into an email and then having to handwrite to from details. A much clunkier system, which also begs questions about accuracy and completeness. The one other request I had was for the call log. The only data I care about is calls between Mike Cusack and Scott Collins, and all I'm looking for is inbound, outbound, time of call, and duration. I'd prefer screenshots for this to have confidence the public record is complete. Thank you so much. And she said, thanks. Let me reach out to Mr. Cusack about the call log in his personal cell. Thank you for your patience. So then I got another email back from her, and here's what I got. Good morning, Andrew. Councilman Cusack states, quote, I sent the texts that I made a public record of. They will need to get a court order for anything else. End quote. Have a blessed day. Which, I mean, I think Dawn is trying, but here's the thing. It seems that Councilman Cusack is laboring under a really big misconception about the nature of the Sunshine Law. If that's his answer, and I had gotten hints of that answer and other things as well, that, you know, if they want the cell, if they want the records on my personal phone, they're going to have to get a court order. Well, this is me asking in public. I plan to call the state attorney later today. Because here's the way this works. You don't get to hide your texts to a potential city council or potential city manager hire just by putting them on your personal phone. And they don't become public records because you decide to make them public records. They're public records the moment you engage in them. the call record and also the text record. Both are public records. You're not. It's not up to you whether they get to be disclosed. So, and by the way, it is it's a minor charge if you do it inadvertently. It's a serious charge if you do it on purpose. And if you delete the information, which of course can be found out from Scott Collins and to the cell phone company, this is a
big
deal.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. Newsradio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Escambia.